Please rise for our call to worship. In Christ, the God of heaven made his home on earth. Highest of all creation, he lives among the least.
He journeys through the rejected and welcomes the weary.
All who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Come and be filled.
All who search for wisdom and look for hope. Of God, our years are full of chances and changes, but our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he greets us, saying, "Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from Christ his Son through the mighty and powerful work of his Holy Spirit."
Amen. Amen.
Welcome, everyone, to our New Year's Eve service at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. We're glad to see you here, both members and many guests. Tonight, we will do multiple things. We'll give thanks for the year past and for God's provision in it. And we will lift up the coming year with its uncertainties, and we will commit our work and our lives into God's hands as we move forward. And we do that in a number of ways. We do that by remembering those who passed during this year, and we name them. And we also name the gifts of new lives. Children have been born to this congregation. And then, at the end of it all, we come to this table, which is an appropriate thing to do at the turning of the years, because this table has a lot to do with time. This table is a time machine. When you're at this table, you remember. You go back into the past and remember both Christ breaking bread with his disciples and giving himself on the cross. So you go into the past. But you also go forward into the future, and you think of the wedding supper of the Lamb and the new creation, where we will all gather around the table and break bread with our Lord. We look forward in hope. We look backwards in grateful remembrance in this place tonight. And for our communion, we will celebrate by intinction. There'll be a couple of stations up here. You will be asked to come forward if you wish to participate. And you take the bread and you dip it in the cup and you partake immediately. If you're a guest with us and you're a person who takes communion in your home church, please, please, please join us for the grace of the table of the Lord. And if you need gluten-free elements, we have those too. You just have to ask. And now, Chad will lead us into our remembrance time by reading Psalm 121.
Hear the words of the psalmist. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now hear the list of babies born to the LaGrave congregation in 2024. These are all gifts of God's grace. Katia Bowden, Levi Hahn, Margot Mustert, Iris Albers, Peyton Lubin, Emerson Coypel, Jasmine Johnson, Naomi Calago, Alexander Luth, Cora Clayfin, Eleanor Gwynn, Kru Medima, Adeline Alec, Amelia Joldersma, and Janie Velzen. We praise the Lord for the gift of new life. Lord, you knit us together in our mother's wombs. Surely we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Hear the names of those who died in 2024. B.J. Wiggum, Fran Pruis, Duke Bogard, B. Hook, Reverend Alan Youngsma, Catherine Duzma, Bill Post, Terry Hooksema, Kathy Krager, Joyce Versluis, Ruth Brower, Nella Groff, Annie Collins, Ruth Van Dam, Barbara Vashel, Wayne Dornbush, Bob and Alice Vandertine, Dick Ortega, Hank Witte, Lisa Beidler, Evelyn Smith, The grave cannot hold those who belong to Jesus. We shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised imperishable. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty Father, as we come to you on the threshold of a new year, we look back on the year that is nearly gone, and we have witnessed many changes in the world around us. Yet despite all the change, you have remained constant. You have not changed. Each morning, your mercy and your grace was new for us. And the end of each day, and now at the end of the year, we can look back and see your hand of faithfulness. Even creation has testified to your faithfulness. Seasons have come and gone once again this year, winter, spring, summer, and fall, all in the way you have planned. And they have spoken of your providence and your care, of your order, in the way you remain in control of all things. We thank you tonight for your faithfulness to this church. We thank you for the babies who were born and for those who were baptized. May you keep them safe and healthy. May you provide all that families stand in need of. And even at a young age, may those boys and girls be drawn closer to you. We pray that as well for those who made their declaration for table fellowship or profession of faith this year. Draw them near to you during times of worship, in prayer, and in your word. We also come to you tonight with praise and thanksgiving for the lives of individuals who died this year. We thank you for the connections they had to family, friends, and your church here at LaGrave, and for the good memories we have of them. This year, you have given them the gift of eternal life, and we rejoice that they are now spending eternity with you, free from illness or any other struggle. May that rich blessing bring hope and peace to all who mourn their deaths. O Lord, we ask now that you would hear us as we spend some time in silent prayer, a time to give thanks for your goodness to us in the past year, a time to confess the things that we need to let go of that have hindered our walk with you, and a time to recommit our lives in the year ahead to give you first place in our hearts. Hear us now as we pray to you in silence. Father, we thank you for your presence in the past and for your promise to be with us in the future as well. All things are yours, and we place our hope and our trust in you alone. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Bible reading this evening are two very familiar verses from the start of Romans 12. These words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformed? Transformed, right? And you've heard those words read many times. And the way Paul sets up the passage, he is contrasting those two words, those two actions. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In his book, Searching for Home, Craig Barnes, a Presbyterian minister, used to be president of Princeton Seminary, said something interesting about those two words, those two contrasted words. He noted something about, and this is for all the grammar nerds here, the voice of those two verbs. And he noticed that when Paul tells us not to conform to the pattern of this world, that's in the middle voice. And that means middle voice is when you do something to yourself, okay? So when we conform, the suggestion there is, Paul writes it, conforming to the patterns of this world, that's something that we do. That's us. It's our work, our will, our choices that are conforming us to the pattern of this world. By contrast, the other word, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's passive. So the transformation is not us. The transformation comes from outside us. And in this case, quite obviously, it comes from God and from the working of his Spirit. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I find that really interesting, the difference in those voices. It suggests something about how we get ourselves out of spiritual shape. It suggests that it's when we're too busy and too active and trying to take the wheel of life in our own hands and put our own priorities and work, 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 that's when our life can start to conform to the pattern of this world and get out of shape. On the other hand, it's when we open ourselves, when we rest, when we receive, when we surrender to the Spirit of God, that's when the Holy Spirit transforms us and begins to get our life back into shape. And that contrast between conforming ourselves and being transformed, that fits the whole rhythm of the book of Romans, if you know the book of Romans at all, right? Paul's subject in the book of Romans is that there's a new kind of righteousness in the world. And what Paul says is, you know, some of my old friends, people I love, they're in trouble because when they do righteousness, they're trying to do righteousness. They're trying to climb the mountain of righteousness and obey the law by their own power. And he says there's a new kind of righteousness after Jesus. It's a righteousness that you get by faith, and you just open your hand and you receive it, and he gives it for free through his blood. New Year's Eve is a time for us to take stock of our lives and our times. Often, as we look forward to the new year, we start to think about making changes and resolutions. So this moment of personal reflection for all of us, I would like to think about those two aspects to our life and how they function. I would like to think about how being overly active and busy can sometimes get us out of shape, and how a little more rest and surrender might be the way that the Spirit will work to transform us. It's worth thinking about rest because we don't rest very well. I know you guys. You don't like to rest. You like to be busy. You are not passive people. Most of us Christian Reformed folks suffer from what you might call, or what Christopher Watkins calls, Babel syndrome. Babel syndrome. If you remember the story of the Tower of Babel, the people in Babel, what did they want to do? They were busy people, right? They were building a city, and most particularly, they were building a big tower in the middle of the city. And why did they do that? They did that because they wanted to make a name for themselves. Remember? And apparently in Babel, if you want to make a name for yourself, you got to do something. You got to make your mark. You got to accomplish something that stands up in this world. People can see. Babel story is 3,000 years old, but the Babel syndrome is alive and well. Seems like everywhere you look, people are trying to accomplish something in this world, to make their mark, to build their tower, to find success. You hear that ethos in the rhetoric of coaches, like high school coaches and basketball coaches and football coaches. We got to give 110%. We got to go out there and work. We're going to outwork those guys. We're going to impose our will on them. The Babel syndrome, at its root, is a way of relating to time. The Babel syndrome is about a relationship to time. Now, maybe that sounds strange to you. That sounds like something a minister who spent too much time in seminary would say. But we do. We all have a relationship to time. Every single person here, you have a relationship to time. In the Babel syndrome, the relationship to time is like a commodity. You got to take control of time. You manage time, right? You schedule it. You try to bend it to your will. I work out 3 times a week at Planet Fitness. I get up early. My alarm goes off at a terrible hour, and I get out of bed, and right away I put on my stuff, and I go out to Planet Fitness. My favorite workout device is the stair stepper, the thing that goes round and round. I like the stair stepper. But it is not enough for me just to go on the stair stepper. No, I must multitask. So I also bring my headphones and I listen to a podcast, a history podcast, a religion podcast, a Bible podcast, because I need to, at the same time that I'm working on my body, I need to work on my mind so I can become a better person. My morning workout suggests a relationship to time. I'm the opposite of passive. As soon as the alarm goes off, I'm jumping on the hamster wheel. Literally, that's what the stair stepper is, like a hamster wheel. Goes around and around. I am trying to control my time and manage it. I would probably do really well in Babel. In his excellent book, Biblical Critical Theory, Christopher Watkins observes what the high point of creation is in Genesis 1. And this is a good question for you Bible nerds. What's the crown of creation? What is the high point of creation in Genesis 1? A lot of you probably in your mind are thinking human beings, right? Human beings, we're the crown of creation. No, you are not. How egocentric of you to think that you are. It's not human beings and the work that God gives us to do, fill the world and multiply it and take dominion, that's the crown of creation. It is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the crown of creation. And what is Sabbath about? In Scripture, it's a time God rests and he enjoys the beauty of his creation and the beauty of the people he put into that creation. And for us, it's a time when we rest. And we enjoy the goodness and beauty of God, the goodness and beauty of each other, goodness and beauty of the good things of the world. And when we Sabbath that way, we enter into a proper relationship with time. Sabbath is a day to look back to the past and remember that the past has been guarded and protected by God and he's been faithful. And it's a day to look to the present and remember that Jesus is Lord, even of this crazy world. And it's a day, a time to look to the future and to know that he's going to make all things new. When we Sabbath, we put ourselves into the proper relationship with time. That is why the scholar Abram Heschel, Jewish scholar, used to call Sabbath the sacrament of time. Sabbath is the sacrament of time. It's interesting, if you look at our society and you see how far we are from that, when you realize that even our rest, even what we call leisure in our society is sometimes in service of actually building our towers and increasing our success. So, for example, a lot of parents, when they enroll their children into leisure activities outside of school, they choose those leisure activities carefully, like music and sports. And part of the design for that choosing is so that they will be successful adults later on. They will learn leadership. They will learn poise. They will be able and to. This leisure time is designed to help them build their tower when they get older. And it's the same with our adult rest sometimes. Why do we rest? Got to recharge my batteries. Get my energy back so Monday morning I can hit it hard. When we don't practice the sacrament of time, the cruel god of success take control of our schedules and our time. He is an exacting God. He is quick to anger, and he's not big on steadfast love. So, as we begin this year, let us take our place before God's time and get ourselves properly related to times of our Lord. And let's begin not by thinking about what we got to do this year or the troubles that are ahead or the things on our to-do list in our family or in our society. Those things are there. They will always be there. Let's not think about those things today. Let's start in a Sabbath mode. Let's start, to use Paul's word from our passage, in view of God's mercy. Let's start your year with your eyes in view of God's mercy, which means let's start with Jesus coming alongside us, laying his hand on our shoulder and saying, just take a deep breath. Stop for a second. I'm here. I love you. I've always loved you, and I will never stop. I've got my hand on the wheel of history. I always have. I've gone ahead to prepare a place for you. In this world, you will have trouble, but I've overcome that. Someday I'm going to beat all those swords into plowshares and those spears into pruning hooks. Someday I'm going to make all things new. And, oh, look a little further. You see that table in the new creation where all those people are gathered around eating the wedding supper of the Lamb? See that empty chair? See that nameplate on that chair? That's you. You got a place there. Everlasting joy will crown your head. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. When we start our lives, our days, our years in proper relationship to time, it changes how we see everything. When we get out of the view of God's mercies, we get on the hamster wheel. When we live in view of God's mercies, all of a sudden, things that seem small and not very important become central, become meaningful to us. A simple example, caregiving. If the God of success is who you worship, if it's about a culture of success and money, then caring for a needy person who can't pay you anything seems completely pointless, right? We even use the language, it's a burden. I don't want to be a burden. It seems like a burden, right? Because it's just putting things in the wrong direction by a certain standard. But if you live in view of God's mercy and in view of God's times, caring for a helpless person fits perfectly and is full of deep meaning. So let's begin this year in the view of our Lord's mercies. Let's do it by coming to this table, opening our hands, taking a deep breath, receiving this good food, and letting our Lord transform us. Amen. O Lord, at the turning of the years, we come to you again, and we thank you for your goodness in the past. We recognize you as the Lord of every one of our days past, and we recognize you as the Lord of every one of our days future. And for each and every one of these days, Lord, we surrender to your will, and we ask that by your Spirit, we would gradually be transformed more and more into your image. In Christ's name, amen. We have opportunity to share God's holy food at this table. We will do that with two stations up here. As you are ushered, come forward down the middle aisle and then return to your seats by the side aisle. And then now let's turn together to the liturgy of the Lord's Supper that's printed in your bulletin. Congregation, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for in your great love, out of nothing, you created heaven and earth and everything in them. You made us in your image and kept covenant with us even when we fell into sin.
We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life.
We thank you, Jesus, for remembering us at this table, forgiving our sins, renewing our hearts, feeding our faith, and giving us abundant life now and forever.
We thank you for giving us food that endures through eternal life.
Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
Continue to pray. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after he'd given thanks for it, he broke it, and he said, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Friends, these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready.
Please rise and join together in the response of praise. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems
your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion and satisfies your desires with good things. As you go forward into your new year, know that it is a year of the Lord and go with his blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you, smile upon you, and fill you with his peace, both now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.